Ready to hear the word of God?
Absolutely.
Ready to do the word of God?
Absolutely.
Ready to have your trust in God strengthened and improved?
Always.
Right? Your faith to grow?
Yes. Yes.
You ready for that?
Yes.
All right, let's go overboard.
All right.
All right. You with me?
She's
in the water. We're going to go to the book of Matthew this morning, chapter 14. A familiar story, but certainly a different message, as always. God always wants to speak to your heart and your mind and your soul. And we know that the word for this year for our church and for you that have been listening is trust.
Amen.
Building trust in God and God trusting us. And then really letting that trust maintain and grow and continue to just keep us safe and secure and always relying on God for everything we need, right? And we can trust God for that, can't we?
Yes.
No matter where we are, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's go overboard. What do you say? Mm-hmm. You with me on that one? All right, beautiful. All right. So in chapter 14 of Matthew, this is a story where right after Jesus had fed 5,000 people, so he had performed a miracle. So we see that he's ready to move on to the next town. And so in beginning at verse 22, it says, immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home, the people that he had fed. So he sent them home. He sent the disciples where? In a boat to head off to the other side of the lake because that's where he was heading next to go minister there, right?
Yes.
All right, beautiful. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So obviously this shows something, that after a great miracle, what do we see Jesus needing to do? Go rest and go pray and get refreshed, right? So at any given time in your life, as you grow and as you overcome obstacles in your life, whatever they may be, or a miracle happens within you or for you or through you or however that might be, whatever it is you do that's great, afterwards you go back to get refreshed with God and you go back and pray. And God then gives you the next direction where to go and so forth. But he also fills you up with that power that we all need to continue. So we're constantly going back to God for what we need, right?
Amen.
All the time, of course. We know that principle. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So while Jesus is up in the mountain praying, the disciples in their boat, suddenly a storm comes. So now they're fighting waves. So they got some trouble going on. So sometimes in our life, right, after a miracle happens and we're off on to the next thing, sometimes something can happen, right? A storm can come unexpectedly, can it?
Yes,
it can. Any kind of storm, any way, which whatever it might be, what we call a storm in our life, right, can come our way. And what do most of us do that the disciples also did? We fight the waves. We fight the waves. We try to save ourselves, don't we, right? We row and row and row and row and row and row and row. And we try to do things to help ourselves, don't we? Now, these disciples had seen Jesus perform a miracle with bread and fish, right? And they remember seeing him pray and asking God to bless the fish and the loaves and multiply it, right? They had seen that. What do you think they ought to be doing while they're in the boat?
Rowing.
Rowing. No, they got to fight the waves. What do we sometimes do when life storms happen? What do we immediately do? We start fighting the storm or the storm causer, right? We try to find why this happened, right? More than anything. Why is this happening? What's going on here? How can this be happening? We start freaking out and we start fighting with what's happening, don't we?
Yes.
Shadow boxing. And some of us are fighting things that aren't even, well, you know, anything we can defeat, are they, really? I mean, ultimately, right? We're fighting with the wind some days, right? Fighting with shadows from our past. Fighting with things that might have happened long ago, and we think that's why it's happening now, too. Anybody ever do any of that? Never. Okay. So, they were fighting heavy waves. So there they are, they're in that boat and it's rocking and they're fighting the waves. Not a one of them, not even Peter, says, okay, folks, hold on. Let's just calm down. Let's have a moment of prayer and let's call out to Jesus. Maybe he's close by us and maybe he'll hear us and just maybe he'll save us. Nobody comes to that mindset. So what are you going to do the next time a storm comes your way? you're going to get calm, right? Right? You're going to, yeah, maybe not. You're going to ask somebody around you to get calm, right? While I'm fighting the waves, I'll be fighting. I'm going to save us. You guys pray. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but many, many years ago, I did go fishing up in Rhode Island. It's a very quiet lake, very smooth. And it was in a canoe, actually. And one thing I learned about canoes is you're not supposed to, like, stand up in them. Little did I know. I mean, I was ready to cast, you know, I was trying to fish, right? So I stand up and woo! Oh, and there went my lunch. Physical lunch, not my lunch, but, you know. Woo! I learned the hard way that, you know, there are things that when you're in a certain situation, sometimes you have to react differently, don't you? And especially if you don't know the situation that's coming your way, you might want to just, like, sit still. It's a lot calmer in a canoe when you're sitting, right? And if the waves start to come, you know, it's better not to be standing up and trying to fight the waves, see? And so the same is true with situations in our life. It's better to sit and trust that God is going to help you. Because God knows how to handle every situation that comes our way, doesn't God? Amen. You trust that?
Yes.
All right, so you're going to stop fighting the storms, right? Yes. That's not going to be your first go-to anymore, right?
Right.
All right, first go-to is what? Calm down. I trust God. God's going to take care of this. All right, everybody in the boat, everybody just sit down, relax. Stop flailing. Just wait for the storm to pass. It will be okay. This too shall pass. Right? First lesson. About 3 o'clock in the morning... This tells me it's many, many hours later. This is probably around midnight that it started the storm. 3 hours go by. 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus decides to go back to the boat, right? Jesus came to them walking on the water. You kind of wonder, you know, why did Jesus wait that long? You ever wonder why God waits so long? You ever wonder that? You ever say to yourself, wait a minute, it's been 5 minutes. What's happened? All right, now it's 6 minutes. Now it's 7. Let's keep fighting the waves. Sometimes God teaches us very valuable lessons while we're waiting. Amen. While we're trusting. There's something about learning how to have faith and trust in God while you're in the storm, when God hasn't answered yet, than there is in the value of God just saving you instantaneously. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I know you don't want to always hear that, but it's really true. Because the courage and the trust and the faith that you have now as it grows in those moments of storms, you're going to have even more strength for what? The next storm, and the next storm, aren't you? The Bible tells us that we persevere and we get stronger and our character builds and our faith grows through every time that God helps us through a storm. Your faith grows. How many of you would like some more storms in your life then? I want to grow a lot, Lord. No, thank you. All right, leave the storms out of this, right? When the disciples saw Jesus, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Obviously, it's in the middle of the night, right? They're fighting the storm still. The storm hasn't subsided. And they're trying probably to get closer to shore, most likely, because it's safer towards the shore than it is. They have been farther out, right? Jesus was still on the shore. The boat, I'm sure, as it's rocking and they're spinning and things of this nature, is probably heading back into shore, most likely. So they're not expecting to see Jesus walking on the water, for one thing, obviously. Sometimes the way God answers our prayer is not always the way you expect it, is it? But it's always the best, ultimately.
Amen.
We have to trust that, right? But Jesus spoke to them at once. See, right away, he's saying, right away, as they're freaking out in terror, right? Sometimes we get afraid, do we not?
Yes.
Our faith goes out the window and fear comes in. Fear takes over, and before you know it, we're like, right, we're out there. And suddenly here comes God helping you. God sends an answer, and but you're freaking out at what that is, maybe, even. But at once, immediately in that moment, when they're in the highest pitch of fear, do you notice what Jesus does? He speaks out to them right then and there, and he says, it's all right. Wouldn't it be great that no matter what you're going through, that in your mind, in your heart, and in somewhere within you, as whatever's happening, whatever storm you're going through, whatever occurs, anything that maybe just upsets you, what if in the middle of that you could hear the voice of God saying, it's all right? What if you said to yourself, it's all right. I'm all right. God's got this. Is that not what trust says? Trust says it's all right. No matter what happens, it's all right. Why? Next verse. I am here. I am here. No matter what we go through, Christ is with us, is he not? Do you believe that? Start believing it more and more. No matter what you're going through, no matter where it happens, how it happens, or whatever the case might be, it's all right because Christ is here. God is here. God is here within us, right? If I have God within me and you have God within you, is there anything we have to fear?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Even that storm?
Yes.
Because it's all right. God is here, right?
Yes.
All right. Don't be afraid, he says. See, if Christ is here, can we be afraid?
No, no reason.
But argue sometimes, tell the truth. Yeah, I'm scared witless. I'm really, A lot of things scare us, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But what? It's all right. God is here. God's got this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the storm. Don't be afraid of drowning. Don't be afraid of anything anymore because God's got you, right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, like, who else is going to be walking on water? Andrew, is that you walking, Philip? Who else are we walking on water? Peter, he's a trip, isn't he? I love Peter. But how many of us sometimes when God sends an answer and you go, is that really you, Lord? Did you really call me to do this? Did you really, is it you that's helping me? Giving me peace about this, or you telling me to do this? Is it really you, Lord? Is there somebody else out there could give me another answer, please? If it's really you, God. They just saw him feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. They see the man walking on water, right? Okay, obviously he's soaking wet. He's in the waves. His hair's a mess. It doesn't look like him. His beard's all disheveled. It's dark, right? They don't recognize that it's him. See, sometimes our perception, when things are bad in our life, if that's the right word to use, or we're in a storm or we are afraid, do we not get a distorted view of God? Do we sometimes not really believe it's God that's trying to help us? We wonder about those things, right? Right? You say, God, if it's really you, help me now. Help me out with this, right? I need to know it's you. So Peter says, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water. So I'm going to test you, Jesus. If you're really Jesus, you're going to allow me to walk on water too. Why did I say that? Do I really think he's going to let me walk on water? Can you just imagine the other disciples are listening to this, right? They're freaked out, right? Because they've been fighting for hours, right? They're fighting a storm for hours, are they not? And now they see Jesus. They think he's a ghost. They have no clue what this person is or this entity is. They have no idea. There's no possible way that a man could be walking on water. And so, of course, they can't believe their own eyes, right? They can't possibly be a human being walking on water. And then Peter, they hear Peter say, "Tell me to walk on water too." And what do you think the disciples are saying? "Peter, get in the boat. Whatever you do, do not leave this boat. We're going to all drown. Peter, are you crazy? You don't know what that is out there." Peter, be sensible. Peter. Now listen, Peter. You have got to calm down. You cannot possibly even dream of walking on water. Come to your senses. Let's look at the reality here, Peter. We're in a boat. We're drowning. We don't know what the heck we're doing. There's this ghost walking up towards us, and you're going to get out of the boat and walk on water. What kind of idiot are you, Peter? So Peter went over the side of the boat. He ignored what the other disciples were saying. See, those of us that have courage, those of us that really believe in God's power, those of us who believe in the impossible, those of us that have faith and trust in God that can move mountains, we say, if you can walk on water, I can walk on water too. And I'll be darned, I'm going to go overboard and I'm walking on water. Because I'd rather believe I could than sit in the boat and never know. I'd rather get out of my circumstance and have a belief and a faith in God that maybe God has something for me that I don't even know about, that's greater than I can even dream or imagine. And so what? I don't care. If I have to drown, I drown. But you know what? I'd rather have faith and trust in God and step out of that boat. Whoa, I can walk on water. Little did you know there was a sandbar here, disciples. Wow, it's not that deep after all. I'm only up to my knees. Wow. And then what happens in the scriptures that follow? Peter looks at what? The waves again. And he looks and he starts to get what? Afraid. Because he can't imagine he can walk on water. It's not possible, is it, church? You cannot walk on water. It's not physically possible, is it, church? Of course not. Well, she can't know where the rocks are, exactly. The sandbar. Now, we often think about, well, you know, Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and that's always a message we know as part of the scripture. When you take your eyes off the power of God, you do become human again, and you do start to falter, right? But if you keep your eyes, but if you also keep your faith and your trust that, you know what, I can do this. I can make it through this situation. I'm going to keep walking out through it. I'm not going to stay in the boat and be afraid anymore. I'm not going to sit back idly and watch other people around me sit still and live a mediocre life. I'm not going to do it, church. So here's what I think happens, right? So Jesus grabs Peter as soon as he starts to fail, right? See, that's the cool thing about Jesus. Now, he asks the question, why do you doubt me? I don't know. I just do, God. I was so strong for about 2 seconds. But just imagine, you know, now Jesus and Peter are in the water still, right? And they turn the boat around somehow. They get the boat stilled because the boat is flailing, right? Imagine that. And then they both get into the boat. You know how hard it is to get into a boat that's rocking? I don't know, but the time I fell out of the canoe, it was really hard to get back in, I will tell you that much. Whew. Man. I got to use Jesus that day, I'll tell you. And the story says that they got back into the boat. And when they did, the disciples worshiped Jesus and said, "You really are the Son of God after all." We were surprised. But I want to take the story and I want to apply it to us and to you and to me. That when we're going through life storms or whatever it might be as we're growing, we might be going on with challenges or something we're going to go after as a goal or a dream or a vision that this church wants to do or you want to do, whatever the case might be. I pray that when Peter got back in the boat, I'm going to add a little story that I believe would be beneficial to us. I believe he gets in the boat and he says, "Hey guys, you know what? That going overboard thing, that was pretty cool. Walking on water, that was fantastic. Hey guys, why don't you go overboard with me and let's all walk on water? Hey Jesus, what do you say? Can we do that walk on water thing again?" What if Peter became an encourager that said, "You can do it too." And then went around to everybody, all of those disciples, and said, "Come on, get up. Let's go overboard. Come on, let's go. Come on, come on. It's cool to walk on water. It's cool to do the impossible. It's cool to live your dreams. It's fantastic to have faith and trust in God that nothing will ever stop you from anything. And no storm that comes your way will ever defeat you. And no, you will not drown." Because when you are in the middle of the storm, Jesus will come along. He'll come save you. And all you have to do is reach out. And he'll take you by the hand and he'll help you out of the boat. So, I guess my challenge to all of you this morning is, what storm are you in? And how long have you been in it? And if you're in that storm, have you been fighting it? Versus stopping and praying and asking God to help you? If not to calm the storm, to calm you? Are you having faith and trust that God will come and save you? Even if it's in the middle of the night, when you least expect it, he will come walking towards you and say to you, "It's all right. Don't be afraid." And then you're going to say, "Lord, if it's really you, help me walk on water too. Help me believe too that all things are possible with you. Help me get out of this situation of doubt and fear." See, that boat that was rocking, that was a fear boat. That was the doubt boat. But we don't live there, do we, church? We live in the boat called trust, don't we? Don't we? And when you have faith and trust in God, what happens when Christ comes into your life and you allow the impossible to move in and through you and everybody else around you, you say to them, "Come on, let's go overboard for God. And let's do what no one says is possible. Let's do it together." Right? And then watch and see where you land. In the story here, not long after Jesus got in the boat, the wind stopped, the waves dissipated, and the last verse says they landed at their destination. Ta-da! Isn't it good to know you're going to land at the right destination eventually? But you're not going to get there fighting waves, are you? You're going to get tired arms. You're going to get other people wet around you. It's going to be messy. What I would rather you do is say to one another, "It's all right. God is here. And let's go overboard. Let's see what we can do." You ready to step out in faith to do that, church? Yes. You trust God enough to do that, church? Yes. Whatever's going on in your life that you haven't started yet, are you ready to go overboard now?
Yes.
Awesome. And let's see what God does in that process. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.